way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
And we're going to welcome you, ladies and gentlemen, to show number 31. I changed it from episode to show because I realized we don't do episodes, despite trying to do it once. Show number 31.
I'm glad you said it because I would have never noticed.
I don't know the difference. So
remember when I said, hey, let's do a season two, and you guys called me.
No. I was fine. I wanted to do it, and Mitch wrote this lengthy text.
I've never seen anyone do that. It was like...
We were going to have to do a recap episode of last time in season one, and then sound bites. Like, it was a TV season is what you're acting like.
Yes. Well, that was only because the software, you know, makes it episodic. So I thought, hey, this is a breaking point, but whatever.
None of us care as much as we once did. So
true.
Yeah. There was a time I wanted to redo the song. Yeah, we don't really care about that anymore.
You did?
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I said, let's shorten this thing up.
Oh, that's right.
And Mitch it's the perfect length because 2 30-second advances, and I know I'm exactly where the show starts.
Perfect.
And new listeners get an intro to who we are.
That's important.
Yeah, so important. And that's why you have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to show number 31 of the Dutch by Association podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Barahona. Along with me, as always, are my good friends and co-hosts, Aaron Alliance and Mitch Geese.
Today's episode of the DBA Pod is brought to you by Super High Tech. Did you wait until the last minute to file your taxes because you knew Uncle Sam was waiting to crotch kick your bank account?
My groin!
We promise we don't do the same. Quality electronics at fair prices. Super High Tech has what you need in Sheldon, Orange City, and Sioux Center. Online at super-ht.com.
Pert near a month since we've been back together. Yeah. Around the
3 weeks, I think. Right.
Pert near a month. Week shy. You got to get
now
technical.
Now we
got to
argue about what's a...
I wasn't arguing about it. I was like,
all this pent-up
argument. You said it, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's technically not a month.
So, okay. You didn't have to make it a thing. Just commenting.
We're 20 minutes in and
barely annoyed me.
60 seconds.
We haven't gotten through the open yet. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So I finally got my tax refund filed like the second week of February and sent it in. And I was going to get a nice sizable refund this year. Lots of children.
Mm-hmm.
I play the numbers to send as much as I can to Uncle Sam, because if it was given to me, well, you could make interest on that. No, I would spend that. So it took about 2 months. To get that back finally. I was sweating bullets, and so was my accountant.
Oh, like you might be in every line for an
year,
audit.
Yes. Every other year, 2 weeks. Bam. It's here. This year, we get to
COVID.
3 to 4 to 5 to 6, and it says under human review.
Uh-oh. You're thinking, audit, audit, yeah. Audit.
Just sweat. My accountant sends me a text. Yeah, I'm getting worried, too.
Oh, no.
No, don't say that.
You're supposed to be the man one. Stand.
Yeah, you're supposed to be my rock, my comfort. Don't tell me you're nervous. And then it showed up. Whew. Thank goodness.
Well, that's because my check must have showed up. They could just sign it over to you, I suppose.
That's probably what happened.
So we better get cracking. We haven't filed ours
yet. Get started.
Well, it's one of those things.
You don't do quarterly estimates?
No.
Haven't made that much money that the government says, you better be paying in everything.
We don't make enough money, so it's fine.
No, that's good.
Yeah, I kind of feel like a farmer with the amount of red that's in my P&L.
Don't worry, son. Don't worry. You need some of them lines to show good numbers for when you file out your CFAP. CPAP.
C what?
CDIF.
Yeah.
You just have to have revenue.
Yeah. You just got to show you got sales.
Mm-hmm.
And well, yeah, you've got all of your, yeah, how many tens of thousands of dollars that you got for your PPP? Because I'm a poor farmer.
No, I didn't get anything from PPP. I did not file that because the year before last, there wasn't really much for sales. So I'm still building up my herd. I'm keeping everything for the most part. Yeah. I'm not selling a lot. Now, when I get my herd to where I want it, yeah, I'll have some sales. And then I really would like another pandemic.
Because that then would benefit. You can cash
then I would really cash in. Like, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want another pandemic. Just kidding.
Wow.
Just an economic slowdown.
As if inflation wasn't starting to rear its ugly head.
Only if you're building a new house.
Yeah.
Or trying to get gas on the East Coast, or you know, there's some increased cost. Some used stuff, cars. Didn't they blame used cars for the bulk of the inflation of the last 30 days?
Really?
Why? Because
has nothing to do with the artificial printing of money, the billions of dollars that.
Well, they're saying that that's where the inflation is occurring. That's where the extra money was being spent. So,
well, I know the used vehicle market's high.
Yeah.
And you can't buy a new 2500 truck or 3500 anywhere.
Yeah, because they can't get the chips. Who would have thought these little tiny pieces of sand, basically, it's silicon, can cripple an entire, several different industries all at once.
So apparently Ford, in their vehicles, uses the same chip from the same manufacturer, something like that, as does Lennox for their high-end equipment.
Really?
So they, too, are battling to get enough chips in order to keep the lines rolling on
and,
the higher.
So, but Aaron, Coleman, yeah, on
Aaron
the other
who
hand,
sells Coleman, we're is good, laughing all the way to the bank.
So we did have, not all the way, the first few steps. We put in a big order today for equipment, and they came back and said, we don't have any of these. But it was a particular size of a particular piece of equipment. They didn't have any of them, and I wanted six. So then we just had to move to a little higher efficiency or a little lower efficiency, and I can get as many as I wanted. It's just weird. They're just little things
small.
And we can make those changes without the customer really even knowing. Or
yeah, you go the lower efficiency and charge them for the one you wanted.
That's right.
And charge them like we went up one. They'll just be a little confused why Mid-America says, no, you don't get a rebate for this piece of crap.
You're actually making the environment worse by using this. How does that work?
No, it's. Well, I was glad to find out that they don't expect, my providers don't expect any issues. So I'm pretty excited to hear that because I am hearing some nightmares.
Yeah, it's getting tougher to get computers.
Mitch?
Yeah, haven't had big shortages yet, but it is affecting availability of like new machinery for sure. And they're telling us to anticipate shortages of certain items during harvest, so we're trying to stock up as much as we can right now.
You're the equivalent of the guy on the East Coast that's bringing like plastic grocery bags to the gas station and trying to fill them up with gallons of gas.
Yeah. My desk drawer is filled with bulk oil right now. Just we had to make room somewhere.
I'm seeing all these people filling up proper containers with gas and then improper containers with gas. When we went to the Black Hills on motorcycle, one of the motorcycles ran out of gas. And so I siphoned some gas out of my gas tank into a cup we found in a garbage. And
you just happened to have a hose on you?
In the laying around. This was Western South Dakota, okay? There's stuff laying everywhere in these little towns. Because we went into this little town and they went, oh, good, gas station. Oh, closed on Sundays.
Oh, no.
What is this, Sioux Center? So there we were, and then we found a little piece of hose, and we siphoned gas into this plastic cup like you'd put your pop in, right? And
who sucked it?
I did. Got some in my mouth. set it down on the pavement. It was just high fives all around. We did it. We're going to keep going. This is really awesome. Lifted up the cup like 30 seconds later, and it just had eaten through the plastic, and it went bleh, and gas went all over the ground.
Oh, no. So we had we're both out of gas.
And we had to find a second container and do it a second time. And No rejoicing, just quick, get it into the gas tank. So I'm seeing these people with these containers, and I'm thinking, yeah, by the time you get home, that gas might have eaten through that container. Mm-hmm. Your minivan could be just full of gas.
Well, I saw a picture on Twitter right when I got here of a, it was like a Humvee on the side of the road burned out. Apparently the gas fumes had, you know, ignited within this car like a half mile from the gas station, so...
Yikes.
Whoops. Jeez. Who would have thought?
And it's,
who would have thought?
And it's not even a, it's not even a supply problem. It's not like there's a shortage of gas. There's plenty of gas. It's just
not in the right place.
It's just the pipeline.
Get it up the pipe.
Yeah. So it's, but then, you know, it kind of creates an artificial emergency at that point because people start freaking out because they can't get it right now. And so then they have to hoard it, and then it creates
it's the
more
toilet paper problem. But
exactly
with gas.
Right. Right. Exactly right.
And it sounds like they paid the $5 million in ransom to get their data back so they could start everything.
Wow. Isn't that something?
I should have been a hacker. That sounds lucrative.
And all it is some, it's probably some secretary opening an email with some attachment and you cripple an entire coast. Unbelievable. This goes to show you, visit Super High Tech to figure out how not to do this. Or not let this happen, or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt.
I've had to deal with it a couple times. I actually did have to pay ransom once on behalf of a customer that had not had anything in place prior and just got hosed. And what really irks me, though, is the fact this was probably 3-4 years ago, and so they demanded Bitcoin. And so it was it was like we needed to pay like 10 Bitcoin. And, you know, had I... You know, thought, oh, well, I'll just get some, well, instead of buying 10, I'll buy 20 and just keep 10 in case I ever have to do this again. Because Bitcoin was like, you know, $50 a piece or something like that. And,
whoops.
Yeah. And then, so then there was a after we realized this, like last year, there was a mad dash over to like our Coinbase account to see if there was just, you know, any, some sort of fraction of a like a little, you know, it was so many cents off, but no, there wasn't.
Boo. You know, well, times, well, yeah, you got Bitcoin going nuts. You've got Elon Musk saying, well, maybe we won't take Bitcoin for our Teslas.
Yeah, it's, you know, uses too much electricity to make, and I care about the environment suddenly.
Yeah. Well, your car well, is he kind has of to take pretend a lot to of,
because all the.
Yeah, I guess who's buying his vehicles,
right? Right.
Yeah.
Self important people that buy a Tesla.
I don't know. Can you really can you classify a human just specifically by the type of automobile they drive?
Absolutely.
No, a little bit.
But there are, like around here, what do people drive around here? Tahoes and Suburbans.
Yeah. Hey, I almost bought a Subaru a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
What made you think going that route was a good idea?
Well, they're a nice vehicle. They're about the same size as like a Jeep Grand Cherokee. They sit just a little bit lower.
So you got like the Outback?
Yeah, the Outback would be the biggest model, or it was at the time anyway.
But now you've gone to a tank that your wife finds very difficult to navigate around close spaces and other vehicles.
She's getting the hang of it, I hope.
I joke with my brother-in-law. He's got a GMC Yukon XL. I'm like, that thing's a tank, man. And he's like, you're just saying that because you're a pussy in a minivan.
Yeah, he's right.
I've got my work truck. Yeah, that's right. I've got my work truck.
We don't need a Suburban, but it is really handy at times.
You don't need a Suburban. Well, when does someone need a Suburban?
Well, if you had 4 or 5 kids, probably.
A miniature van is...
There's not enough cargo room behind the third row in a minivan to go on a vacation. I mean, you don't go anywhere.
They put that rack on top.
Hold on a second.
Oh, speaking of hippie stuff, you got your rack on the top. That's usually on a Subaru. So who are you to talk?
So I want to just point out a little discrepancy in your logic here. You criticize both Aaron and I just to no end because we spend all this money on a camper. To go 4 or 5 times a year and your cost per outing, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But now you're trying to justify your Suburban by the fact, well, you know, there's not enough room behind that third row seat to go on a vacation. Okay, so that's worth the
you're right. 60, I should.
$60,000 price tag.
I should have hit the $30,000 camper behind it that's worth 10 in a year. And that would have made more sense.
Not next year. It won't be. My used camper will be.
Well, right now.
Will be worth more next year than this year. Thanks to inflation. As long as it inflates things I own. And nothing I have to buy.
Yeah, perfect.
Inflation is fine.
Saturday, we had ties and tiaras. So I got to have like our first daddy-daughter dance. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool.
The picture that went to Facebook was you standing in the living room of the camper. Yep. So my wife says, are they camping somewhere? Yeah, I said, boy, do I have a story for you.
After the kids go to bed.
And yeah, we had a great time. We actually had a quadruple date over at the lounge before taking our dates to the dance, and
we had a good time.
Did your daughter dance with you?
Briefly.
My daughter had absolutely zero interest in it. I was okay with that. Actually, at one point, like, she found her friends and she said, "Daddy, just sit down over there."
It's like, go okay. Sit in the stag line.
All right. And I sat down next to Zach Sawyer, and I'm like, all right, so how are you, man? Hey, because his daughter had told him roughly the same thing. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of memories that were made. And then so the biggest thing that I was kind of worried about was like, I don't want to get back, you know, get done with this dance at like 8:30 and then drive back to Lamar's to sit in the camper in the rain. Like, you know, we're already home. Ava's looking awful tired. Maybe she should just sleep in her bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I figured you'd do that. That's fine.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And you got to sleep in your bed.
I did, and it was awesome. It was absolutely everything I'd ever dreamed it would be after spending a night in the camper.
So the camper is for sale then? It'd be a good time to tell Becky. Yeah.
You can rent mine. Minimum of 3 nights. There's insurance. There's other things.
Then check this out. So cleaning deposit.
So yes, thank you.
My brother-in-law. So I go back down there Saturday afternoon. So like I go to work Saturday morning and then come back Saturday afternoon. And my brother-in-law, who set this whole thing up, had literally just sold his camper. And the other people were getting into it as I showed up. Like, they were swapping out fifth wheel hitches and everything. Like,
right in the middle of the family camping
in the middle of the campground, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I see that all the time.
What? Who does that? Can you imagine? Would you be like, well, you can have it Monday after we're done with family weekend.
Clean it out and...
No. Okay, why not?
Maybe he wanted out of there that bad.
Sold it to a cousin, I guess. So that's why.
Well, that makes sense.
So that there's, but the cousin like had brought their fifth wheel to the camper and was on the other side of Grandma. How many of them? It was a very interesting weekend.
Well, I pulled it up on my phone. Looks like a beautiful campground. Don't know if you'll ever go back.
I don't know if I will either. But
did you have to buy a sticker to stay there?
Mm-mm. No, they don't. They don't gouge you like Sioux County does.
Some of their places don't require it yet.
Like what?
I think
the rest stop
Grove does not, but I think that's because they want people to come in and go to their nature center and not have to buy a $20 or $50 sticker to be able to go visit the nature center.
No.
I thought it's because it's too close to Haywarden or something like that.
There's one even closer to Haywarden. It's like the pits of Haywarden.
I've stayed at the pits of Haywarden.
I hear it's wonderful.
It's fine.
Have you been there since they've redone things?
I was there three years ago.
Isn't that where you took the fishing boat?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, one of the three times that I've had that boat out all year.
Because I've already...
Lifetime.
But we purchased a camper 3 weeks ago.
You did?
Yeah. Oh. We've got one sent at home. And I've already had my first text today asking if they can rent it.
Wow.
Really? Yep.
They'll make two of my payments. Ready to go.
Wow.
Nice.
So you got the big $100,000 toy hauler.
That's
like you were looking.
That's not what it is.
Granite countertops and everything. Huh?
Not at all.
Only weighs 312,000 pounds.
Just about.
And you're going to need to get new, airbags for the truck.
You're going to need a new truck.
So you're buying it specifically to go to the Black Hills.
I'm buying it specifically for my family and our needs.
Go to the Black Hills.
$10 says come September, all of a sudden there's the for sale sign up.
No. I'm waiting this inflation ride out. Because campers are up and away. It's nuts.
You're thinking that they're going to go the route of Dogecoin and...
Just, yep. Be able to use it for 5 years and sell it for what I bought it for.
Yeah. Yep. I've also, sounds reasonable.
If that's what you think, and I also have some oceanfront property in Archie that I'd
building
love to
materials,
show you.
If building materials don't come down, that's exactly what it'll be. Just like housing. When housing prices.
So you're saying that you didn't pay a premium to buy it this year?
Nope.
How do you figure?
I didn't. You can see the price of the thing for months back.
Did your buddy
made an offer?
Sold it to you? The guy we talked to.
Panda?
Yeah,
Panda.
Panda.
Don't laugh at Panda.
You laugh at Panda.
Laugh
at
I know I do. I'm
sorry. We're running long here.
Yep.
We'll have to delete some things, man.
Yeah, maybe or maybe not. Back with segment number two, right after this.
Really lean.
So what'd you do on the other? Would you butcher three?
I butchered two cows that didn't.
And they're breed. All ground?
Yep, they were all ground except for
Sally like Mae.
Loin, I think. They kept the loin and then kept a bunch of tallow. And I've got a gal that wants the tallow and wants the...
So like the beef tenderloin, like that part you're talking?
Yeah, they kept that because they said no matter what that's off of, that's excellent.
That's all. Yeah, that's money in the
Don't
bank.
Don't grind that.
Well, yeah.
And then all the internal organs, which I didn't know I wanted them, but got them.
Oh.
Like separate or did they ground it in?
No, it's separate.
So do you get just like a bag of intestines or what? Yep. Or how does that work?
Yep. Looks like it should be ready to sous vide or whatever the hell you guys do with your meat. It looks like you should just be able to throw it right in your pot of water.
Have you ever had a pickled heart or tongue?
No, but I got the stuff that you can make it.
All right. Well, I'm going to take you up on that. Thank you.
Pickled tongue.
Well, you slice it and then you pickle it. Yeah.
Now, one thing I did have when I was in Lamar was I went to Jim's Burgers to get tacos, which sounds normal, but phenomenal. And they've got a lengua taco, which is the tongue.
Beef tongue.
Yep. It's to die for. Love
really?
It. Yeah.
Well, I'll give Mitch the tongue. You guys can slice it up, and Wayne, you can make it into tacos, and I'll just hear about it later.
You're not interested?
Not at all.
That seems like a really Dutch thing to be into.
Right.
It does. Yeah. Using every square inch of
the cow. Right.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? The Lord blessed me with a good job. I don't need to be eating those things.
Well, now, well, Aaron, us poor folk can enjoy the tongue. Right.
Waste not, want not. Come on.
That's true.
And then, like, I remember going to the grocery store as a kid, and they'd have, like, the beef livers and, like, this container that looks like you'd get bait out of. Like, here's one liver. It's like...
Well, it's because it's for catfishing, mainly.
Probably, yeah. unless you're like low on iron, maybe you need
and
some
money.
Of that.
And money. I just can't imagine any other reason to eat this stuff. You got to be low on money.
Well, maybe you can use the intestines to make sausage.
Maybe, but I'm not. Oh, so yeah, 1,300 pounds of ground beef and some internal organs.
So you're saying that some of the other lockers that you've been to were not gracious enough to give you a bag full of organs?
No. I just think they thought, well, if you don't ask for it, we'll keep it.
Yeah, that's right. I'm making my own dog food.
It's
dog
like,
food.
Some people are like, I didn't realize that until I belonged to one of the Facebook groups for dogs. There are people that like cook meals for their dogs or prepare meals for their dogs like three times a day. They get so many pounds of ground beef a day, so many greens and so much fat. And like, nope, we get Old Roy. And maybe that's
and
why my dogs.
It's on sale.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe that's why my dogs just head straight for the road. Just to end it all. But that's what we get. We get Old Roy.
I have to put my dog's food through a food processor every time I feed him, so that's fun.
Man.
Poor Reggie, the diabetic dog.
The blind diabetic dog.
You're more humane than I am.
Wife and daughter. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, on that depressing,
wow.
Poor Reggie.
All right.
Now he started to do this thing where he'll just like, well, if we're going to talk about it, where he'll just like randomly like just a little turd will sneak out. So it's just like one like inch long turd.
You're not helping his case here with me.
No, I want Misery Loves Company. I want you guys to wallow in it with me.
I don't know if anything.
If I ever do that, I want you to shoot me. Okay. I'm just saying,
Greta. You check his check his undies. You let me know.
I had a little one-incher sneak out.
Goodness.
What were we going to talk about at segment two?
Poop well, different origins. I don't know.
I guess last time that we had been on here, it was April 20th is when we recorded. And I think that was right when I think had just had a council meeting and talked about the Ward 3 or Ward 2 vacancy and what was the steps that were happening to try and fill that. And so since then, of course, there was a petition filed to bring Ward 2 to an election. And, oh, that's right, so I talked about it. And then I said, give me feedback if you think I'm wrong, because I was advocating going towards the all at large position. And then I got just lambasted by a couple of people. Well, one in particular. And I'd heard a story. Back up a little bit further. I'd made a Facebook post, and this is how it started, about, what would it look like if Sheldon were to go to an all at large position, meaning it doesn't matter where within the city you live, you all vote, everyone votes for everyone. And then, like the top three get in or whoever's up, however many spots are open at the time. And a law enforcement officer in the city liked it.
And commented just briefly that I support you, whatever.
Right.
That was it.
And then we had one of the town crazies go up to his wife and say, "So, looks like your law enforcement hubby's a racist, huh? Because he wants to eliminate their vote."
Because I had no idea that people in Ward 2 were all from a different race than the people from Ward 1.
I didn't know.
Ward 3.
I should inform my neighbors in Ward. What am I? I don't even know what freaking ward I'm in. I
think you're in Ward 1.
Ward 1. They're not supposed to live there, apparently, because
they are of a different race.
They're of a different
you.
Race than me. So I apparently they're supposed to be relegated to one section of town, according to some people.
Because it felt
the open-minded people that care about them.
So right. just to round out the story. So after hearing that, getting that feedback from this law enforcement officer, I was pissed. I was freaking angry. So I'm like, all right, I just need to. I wrote a letter to the editor, just like, okay, you know what? This is stupid. It was in the Mail Sun here a couple weeks back. You can go find it and read it if you really care to. It basically just said that, we're all in it together. This is a town of 5,000 or 5,500 people. We're not, we've never nor will we ever make a decision based as far as improving town based on what the address is. It's going to be what needs it and what can we do. And that's the end of the story. But some people really like to push this narrative that if we go to an all at large position, we're just going to get our buddies in there. And then we're going to take it over and it's going to be in our vision. And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, if your ward is too apathetic to actually want to step up and try and do something, that's on them. And
if they don't show up and vote.
Right.
What are you supposed to do?
Right. Yeah. And then I got asked by someone who listens to the podcast, well, what outreach have you done? I put up signs. What
outreach do we do for the rest of town?
Right, exactly.
Any differently? None.
Polls are open for a solid 12 hours. Everyone gets the opportunity to vote. You can't put time into it. You can't put a time restriction clause on it because you think that, it's unfairly going for one side or the other.
And that was part of the argument was, well, they don't show up to vote or they won't run for council because it's not at a convenient time. Well, they didn't show up to vote, and that's they had a much larger window of opportunity to do that. So
there's a lot of apathy.
There is. And it's not limited to Ward 2.
No, it's not.
No. And so
but it's been more apparent in Ward 2.
So I sit here as an outsider. I live outside of town, but my business pays a fair amount on property taxes, which comes back and benefits Sheldon. So I have way more stake in this game than a lot of other people that have super loud voices. Mm-hmm, I have way more money in the game than a lot of people who are speaking the loudest and complaining the most.
Very vocal $78 per year taxpayer.
And I don't get to vote.
Yeah, you don't have
now, a why vote? Not?
Right. Yeah. Right. And I posted this into the the Mail Sun and really, it was just I got home, I got the Orville Redenbacher ready. I saw it was posted online, gathered the family around and said, "All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go."
Comment section.
And
refresh.
Crickets.
Nothing.
Absolute nothing. Crickets.
I got more shit for sharing your previous
post. And that's where
post.
It started is because you shared it and said, like, yeah, this is a good idea or something to that effect. And then that started like this big shit storm where people started diving in saying, well, you don't know what you're talking about. And
hashtag white privilege.
Right, yeah.
And I marvel at that because I just saw within this last week a picture of the city of Sheldon broke down into wards. And when you look at that, it's like, when you look at the different wards, Ward 1 is all white people. Ward 2 is this or that.
Yeah,
and Ward 3 is this or that.
All minorities in Ward 2.
And very poor people who, whatever. And Ward 2 is also people that all work 8 to 5. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like to lump this together the way it's
so
being done
silly.
Is, it's like, I don't understand the ward system. It is so dumb.
So dumb.
It needs to be.
They need a voice. There's no opportunity in Ward 2. I don't know. I've never applied for a job, and they've asked me what flipping ward I live in. What is that? Yeah. What do you even mean by that? And you took your buddies from Minneapolis around.
Yeah, I showed them. I showed them the ward section. I'm like,
they're like, man, your ghetto looks a lot different than ours does.
Right. And Mitch, in engaging in this meaningless Facebook thread, actually had like the knockout punch, which is Mitch is prone to do. And it was, Sunday morning, took the family out and we did a tour of Ward 2. And if anyone wants to assuage their white guilt, there is a $500,000 house for sale in Ward 2 if you want to go get in and feel like you're doing something for the community.
Yeah, because if you don't live there, you obviously don't understand the plight of the Ward 2 citizen.
Yeah.
You don't get it. You can't see across those cultural lines.
That you didn't know existed.
You need to live in it, experience it, and you, unfortunately, 6 blocks to the south and east, don't get it.
Nope. I just have no idea what's going on a half mile away.
Blinders on. Yep.
Yep.
I was in Hospers on city council and Sanborn on city council, and I'm so thankful we didn't have wards, and never did I butt heads with these type of people who, in Sanborn we did to a point, but he was by himself. There wasn't multiple. And he was more, he had an issue. He was a rule follower. That was his thing, rules. But people here, like, anytime you have an idea or want to do something other than just hit the repeat, they're just all kinds of angst and anger and upset. And you're just trying to put people down.
You're looking out for your own interests.
I'm so thankful we didn't have that in Hospers or in Sanborn when I served there. I just can't imagine what that's like to serve, Wayne.
I don't even know what interests you or I or anybody would be looking out for by having a friend on the council. What are you going to do for me?
Right.
Personally.
And
nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And Todd Yule, our public works director, said, we had gotten into this conversation about, because I'd early on had broached the subject of going to getting rid of the ward-based system. And he said, it works. I get it in bigger cities, right? If you need to have someone representing 50,000 people, fine. Yeah, that makes more sense. We're 5,000 people. And Todd's like, yeah, if you guys ever put pressure on me to do project or not do a project based on your personal preference because of location, I would just quit. And I'm telling you that right now. And I said, I would expect you to, because I would expect that if you were ever asked to do something that asinine, that disrespectful, that you would have the moral stability to do that. And it's just, it infuriates me that the people think that, that we're acting out of malice. Like they just instantly assume that we're out to F somebody.
Well, I've been in sales a long time, and I've kind of figured out that the people that always are really, really worried that you're going to screw them, that you're always up to something, they're probably the ones you got to watch. Cause if they assume everybody else is looking out for themselves and trying to screw other people, it's probably because that's how they operate.
That's how their mind works.
That's kind of my conclusion on that.
So now where we sit, there have been two petitions filed for the seat, the vacant seat in Ward 2.
That will last until November when an election runs again.
November when we have the actual election. And
I'm so glad that this went to vote for the net, so that way a person can sit in that seat for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine the damage that would have been done to this town had you appointed someone.
That's right.
The damage.
Could you imagine?
And look, we have the same, well, not even the same, fewer candidates now to choose from so far.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Look how differently it's.
But yeah, could you imagine? Like we had two people that wanted to run. That were willing to run, and they were literally on the wrong side of the street. So talk about, it's not a different neighborhood. They were across the street.
And they would never understand.
Right. So stupid. So outdated. I don't understand.
You don't know the history of this town.
Well, I don't want to relive the stupid ass history. Are you kidding me? You're just dredging up old shit. Yeah. You're the problem. Yeah. I don't want to know the history.
That. Yeah, you don't know you don't have a place at the table because you don't understand the history.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? You think like some big lobbyist is going to come grease our palms and we're going to start changing the way that we do infrastructure or where we do it or what? Get real.
I can't believe that we were allowed to hire Sam knowing that he didn't fully understand the history of this town.
Yeah.
Could he know?
Yeah, I mean this growing job is
Boyden. And it was done without a vote.
Shame.
Oh. Right?
Something so big and important. We can't make a decision
that I don't agree with without me voting on it.
Right.
This is a democracy. We vote on every little decision.
No, it's not actually.
A lot of people don't get that.
They don't. And
you get a say on whether Wayne or not gets to make decisions.
Right.
And I'm okay with you making decisions now that you've been selected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Constitutional Republic. That's kind of the whole point is that you put your faith in me to do right by the city. And especially as the at-large member who is looking out for everyone. But I can't look across my table at my fellow councilman who's a Ward 1 or Ward 3 elected official and say that, well, I got to keep them in line because all they're going to do is advocate for their ward. So stupid. And the thing that I guess pisses me off the most is we put the time in, we have budget planning sessions, we have goal setting sessions, and not once has anyone ever broken out a flipping map and say, nope, we don't do that there. We do this here. We spent $3 million. We pushed through this budget that had TIF money available, and we said, let's spend it. You know, cause we had a number of different ideas that we could have spent it on. I said, no, infrastructure number one. Let's do it. Let's go there. Todd, what needs it? Not where is it? Not who lives there? It was what roads need it and how soon can we get it done? And that's it, period, end of story. So the idea that someone would think, because it's really it's a moral strike against me to think that I would have some sort of vested interest to not think of my fellow human because of their freaking address. It's absolutely it's insulting. It's 100% insulting. And I just hope that people who think that way, that somebody that we're never going to have the town that we want, or we're never going to have the government that we want because these corporate fat cats are the ones that are in control. I hope you just move. Just leave. If you can't, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. I mean, if you can't trust the elected officials of the town to do right by the town, then either leave or step up, because I'm sick of hearing it.
Move out to the county, but then you've got representative government there too, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Which, with a lot more to actually gain. I make $45 flipping dollars a meeting. Those guys get full health insurance. Go bitch at them. Tell me about my white privilege with my $45 a meeting. I grew up, at least from the age of 19, in Ward 2. I was in Ward 2 from when I was 19 till I was 27.
And it wasn't until you were,
38.
That you really came to terms with the fact how underprivileged you were growing up in Ward 2.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have liked to have,
if only you had known you were in Ward 2. Yeah.
You could have sat and sulked about your poor
disadvantage.
Luck.
Yeah.
All right. I need to take a step back.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, probably.
I'm enjoying this a lot.
I know. I'm on this like spirited stance, and you guys are both just smiling like, oh, this is great.
Popping checks. I love it. You're as mad as I was during the Facebook deal. Right.
Oh,
so.
It's just mind boggling. I'm not a perfect person, so I don't expect anyone else to be perfect too. I don't even think of myself as an extraordinary person. I might be a little bit more outgoing than maybe your average person, but that's really all I got going for me, because the looks train left a long time ago. The only thing I do have is the initiative and the drive to help improve the place where I'm at. The only thing that I would look to someone else to do is to have the just this base level of logic and reasoning that I feel I possess. I feel that, and the people with whom I associate possess, I just feel like that's a basic human element. And when emotion and propaganda and all this other stuff eclipse the logic, you've lost me. It's done. It's over. I can't argue with that. How do I argue? You can't argue emotion with logic. I'd have an easier time butting my head against the wall to make a hole and be able to create an entryway than I would to try and convince one of these people that I'm not the devil, that I'm not some white supremacist that's out to strip the poor downtrodden people of their vote.
Well, you're the least white supremacist I know.
Yeah, being half Hispanic myself, I did find that white privilege thing a little funny,
especially when you look at where you've come from, where you grew up.
Yeah,
you know, a lot
grew
of
up
people,
in a trailer park, like
in a big city.
Yes, yeah. So Ward 2 looked like Beverly Hills compared to what I grew up in.
Sit here and try to think that the Ward 2 people can't help themselves.
Right. Yeah. They need some savior from above in Ward.
Well, that's
one.
Insulting to them.
It
frankly.
Is. It really is.
What have you done?
Yeah. How have you reached out to them?
How have you been a savior to them? How have you been the hands and feet of Jesus to Ward 2?
I woke my ass up every day and went to work. That's what I did. That's how I helped my community, because my tax dollars are there, and I'm ready to help out with casting my votes for or against items that are presented before me on the council. All right, you know what? Done. It's over. Segment 3 is going to be a lot happier next.
hell are you going to sell it when it's on fire every other year? Under 3 feet of water every other year.
Well, if the locusts come, then you know it's time to leave.
Suffer another plague.
What are there, four
the
plagues?
The frogs,
10. Oh, yep. Boy, you guys are hardcore.
The 10th is the worst. That's the Passover night of the firstborn. Night.
Right.
But anyways, let's fire up segment 3.
All right. Well, we were talking a little bit off air about your new hectic schedule.
I'm just a regular chase my kids around, chase around little Johnny. Except to have little Johnny, and he's not the one I'm chasing around. But you know what? I'm chasing around a boy who is good at sports. It changes your whole tune now. He's like, weird. So, yeah, I want to watch him now. He's fun to watch.
You assumed he was going
to
be like you.
I know. That's exactly what I assumed. But it turns out you add a little of my wife's genetics and you mix the two together. And out comes a kid that's coordinated, who can run fast, who can play great soccer. And
now you're all about it.
Yeah. So does that mean that if he was really not as good at these sports that he still continues to participate in, that maybe you wouldn't be in attendance as much?
Because he's getting the support, he's getting grandparents, he's getting his mom coming. And you know, when I was young and not good at things, my folks were very busy. My dad had just started his business when I was 9. He didn't have time to come out. And so I grew up knowing that.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to see my dad here. And I might not see my mom either. And I might have to catch a ride home with one of my buddies, and I should figure that out before they're all gone. I went to Hull Thursday night to watch, or Wednesday night to watch Asa play soccer, because I knew he was going to play the entire time, and I knew he was going to get some pretty sweet looks at the net. And yeah, and it didn't disappoint. He missed every shot he took, but he had some just really good looking shots. And yeah, he's just fun to watch now.
Were you ever excited about soccer before?
No.
Do you have a favorite professional team now? Because people get really into it.
I'm not
they
that
got
into
like
it.
The Ferrari, well, yeah. Yeah. Whatever they jersey.
Arsenal, no. Whatever, yeah. Yeah.
No, I
Are
really,
you a hooligan?
What's that?
A soccer? You've never heard of a soccer hooligan?
No.
Like in European League, it's like the people that start brawls at the game.
Oh, yeah, no. No, no, no. But I did holler. I'm not usually a holler, but I did holler.
No. He is a hooligan.
A hollerer. Yeah. And it was funny because my pastor yelled back at me with one of them I wrote and then just laughed after what he said. And if I didn't have such a good relationship with you, I'd be upset. I was just thinking to myself. He's like, because I said, Asa, keep dribbling the ball. Dribble the ball another time. He's got to have control first, says preacher. Followed up with a belly laugh.
Listen here, Delaware. I will know.
Vermont.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, speaking of Subarus.
That's right. Well, as he says, there's a pile of them out there. Yeah. But yeah, it's fun to go watch. And then last night was a track meet, and he finished towards the high end on some different races. And
that's got to be like the worst sport to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to that.
Oh, you okay? Smart. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, as somebody who threw shot put and discus and then had to stand around the rest of every damn track meet I ever participated in, brutal.
Mm-hmm.
I hope my kid throws shot and discs and I can leave.
Yeah. Don't got to sit in the stands, because 90% of the time the weather's awful. Yeah. Yesterday the weather was really nice, but that's not often.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, and it's not like usually the shot and whatever is like not discus. Part of the same.
Yeah, it's off
like,
on
it's
its
like
own.
It's off on its own deal. So then.
Yeah. And if you do have some running events, you got to kind of pay attention at these young kids stuff. Now, when you're us, see, I threw discus. That was my thing. But then that automatically meant you threw shot put too, which was not my thing. But The running events at the high school level that happen while discus and shot put are running events that don't happen with guys like us. They're the mile and the half mile and that kind of thing. You're not seeing the shot putters.
And those are the most boring to watch anyway, too. You know, watch somebody jog 4 laps. I mean,
so I hope this doesn't come back around. But 2 days ago, my sister and my brother-in-law say, can you come look at a house with us? Oh, man. Get in the house and I walk around and look at it with them. Oh, I recognize this. His son ran track with me. He was a year older than me. I always marvel. He had a cigarette, and then he ran the mile, and then he had another cigarette. We all had a good laugh. I said, track coach didn't care because he was smoking too. And it just, just brought me right back to track.
So was that like at Western where like the track coach was also like the auto mechanic in town that just was like,
No, you always had the teacher because it was like they'd hire you on as a teacher and then they'd be like, well, we got some openings in soccer and track and this and that. Would you be willing? It's another $600.
You think you can coach the mile run? Yeah. Go run a mile as fast as you can and then do it again tomorrow. Yeah.
And if you fail, you're doing it again. And if you succeed, you're doing it again.
I always got along really good with our track coach. He's since passed away, but he taught government classes.
Too. Oh, so right up your alley.
Yeah, I always really got along with him because I paid attention during those classes. So
because you were armed with all of Rush Limbaugh's knowledge that you could.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume that he was a conservative. Did his
government teacher at Western?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well,
I should clarify. He didn't do government. He did current events.
Was one of the classes.
Yeah,
really.
U.S. current events or something like that.
Here are things
on the latest episode of Leave It to Beaver.
I just remember always watching. The first thing he did when he got in the room, he turned the lights off, and you'd watch like a 9-minute CNN thing, and then you talk about it, and then you'd have to write about it, and. But anyways, how'd we get here?
You literally had a class that was the evening news.
Correct. But wow. U.S. news. Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't go into the world news.
Mm-mm. It was just U.S. current events.
Netherlands?
No, not Netherlands. We don't want to know about the Netherlands. They've gone, they've gone to pot, literally and figuratively.
Literally.
Yeah, no. Talk about the homeland. You're talking about like 1850 to 1900. You're not talking about anything after the 1900s. Yes,
give me the famine and the plague, Netherlands. Not the not the marijuana and the prostitute, Netherlands.
I want my home country.
So, but you're able to do some stuff now that you're reliving a second time. That stuff that you did as a kid that now you're doing it as an adult. So you. Did you volunteer?
No, my wife volunteered me to drive.
So you are leading, tomorrow you're leading a field trip.
Yeah, there will be two dads and then the room moms. My wife is a room mom for that room. Mm-hmm. And the teacher too. And he's the teacher that gave Asa like the 41%.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to talk to him about that and tell him how much I appreciated that. And it did take a little while to get Asa around the corner, but we did it. But we're doing like the exact same field trip we did in 1993 when I was in seventh grade.
So take us through this field trip.
So your first stop is going to be the police department and the jail.
In Sioux Falls.
And then the next stop is Falls Park, I think. And then you walk downtown a little bit and see some of the statues. And then there's a museum for Indian history, local Indian history, and then the cathedral up in Sioux Falls. So all those stops are stops that we made when I was just a wee lad. Not even, I would have been 12, waiting to turn 13. And now I'm bringing my son on the same trip. I think that's just really cool.
That's pretty cool.
And I'm going to care like 1,000 times more than I did back then.
Are you expected to curate the trip? Here we see.
You're like a tour guide.
No. That's the teacher's job. My job is to get them there safely, to be very heavy-handed when the boys get out of hand.
Listen here.
Yeah. There will be, I'll punch my kid. You better believe it. I hope all his buddies watch. Probably I'll punch you too.
Probably shouldn't do that at the jail. Yeah. Speaking of which, though, what kind of like weird sadistic thing is, hey, let's go visit a jail in a metropolitan area.
Because our jail is like Andy Griffith.
This is what happens if you leave Sanborn and move to Sioux Falls. You'll end up here.
Oh, man. No, I just.
You know why he's here? He saw a woman naked before he was married.
All right, I'm writing this down. This sounds very effective. I'm really going to enjoy it. And I've thought about going back to Washington, D.C. I went to Washington, D.C. as a senior in high school. And I'm sure I took it in a little bit, but I would go there now and have a whole different outlook and appreciation. And I'd want to spend the time and I'd want to read the plaques and I'd want to see everything. And
I appreciate the history that actually happened.
Yeah. And it's like now all of a sudden it's just thrown in my lap. It wasn't even my choice. My wife was like, you're driving next Friday, so be sure you get things taken care of at work.
Okay. All right.
Yep. We'll do that.
Are you taking your miniature van?
Yeah. Yep.
So your class is that small that they would all fit in the minivan?
No, there's three or four of us driving.
Oh, okay.
I think there's 13 kids total.
Couldn't get a bus?
No. No, you don't want to do a bus. It's just, I think so we have three buses at school, and I think they're taking a lot of the smaller grades to there because every class from first through eighth is going on a field trip tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Oh, wow. Friday. Yep.
All on the same day.
Friday the 14th. It's the 13th as we record this, just for.
And today, my wife brought her kindergarten class up to the zoo in Sioux Falls. So hopefully, and today, because tomorrow would be a day I'd normally have Ezra, and I'm so thankful I don't. I'm so tired of that kid. Fridays with him are just getting to be a burden. It's like so my job is to wake him up in the morning and come downstairs with him, get him dressed. It's like on Friday mornings, we're both just pissed because we both know we have to spend the day with each other.
So
he doesn't like me.
So
I don't like him.
Oh, first off, is this just like a Dutch move because you don't want to pay for daycare?
Yeah. And I think it's good for the, I guess.
You get some plumbing work out of him, don't you?
Yeah, we do a little
bit. Go fetch these parts.
We got small crawl spaces. You got to take this way over there. But I've just had him with me most Fridays, and it's like him and I are both so ready to be done. He's like, Dad, you suck. And I'm like, you suck.
And then he punches you in the face, and you apologize.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to go to Brady's again.
What do you want?
Too bad.
I want McDonald's. Nah, Brady's.
No, we're going to Brady's. Yeah.
I don't want to go to Brady's again.
What he doesn't like about Brady's and what he likes about McDonald's is you show up at McDonald's, you can have your food in 30 seconds. At Brady's, right, you have to sit there and wait a couple minutes because Justin has to make it.
Right.
Which I'm fine with. I'm fine visiting. He's not fine with because he thinks we're all boring. And he's right.
And he doesn't want to be there in the first place.
No, he wants to play and have fun.
So why don't you just send him to daycare on Fridays?
I don't know if the daycare would take him. The daycare has waiting lists, and for them to be able to staff up.
Wasn't he in there?
He was, but will daycare just take a kid for one day a week?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Because you really upset their ratios. They have to play a lot of games and jump through a lot of hoops with ratios.
Plus, it's Ezra, so they're like, no.
Yeah. Do you know that we ran out of incident reports because of your son? We had to purchase a whole nother batch. It's like, holy crap. Every other day, we had to sign off on something and then, like, not look another parent in the eye because you just, like, felt terrible watching your kid, whatever he did, punched him in the nose.
He grows out of it. Yeah.
Like, I wish I could go back to the last time I signed an incident report for when he bit somebody. If I could have known then that was the last time, we would have had just one heck of a party.
Frame it. Yes.
The last one.
Good job, buddy.
And then the parents who had spirited kids in the past are like, you know, he's really going to go places. He's really determined. And God, I hope you're right.
I hear that too. But
you hope that place isn't prison.
Well, I see, you know, your daughter supposedly is super spirited too.
Supposedly.
How old is she? Ezra's.
She's six.
I think Ezra's six too.
Yeah. We'll get the two of them together.
Well, they both have black eyes. Yeah. But they'd be best of friends the rest of the time. Probably. Right. So something to be said for that.
I wonder
too.
If Ezra could take her.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think Ezra
was he telling me? So my kids are just old enough that we let them. Like go to the playground after school sometimes, and then Greta will pick him up from there instead of daycare. And Wyatt's like, at the playground a couple weeks ago, everybody was like, wow, your sister's tough. So they were like standing there and having her punch him to see how bad it hurt. and Bentley almost started crying. And I'm like, good job, Lydia.
Yeah, that's right. Sounds like a boy thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I want your sister to hit me.
You're getting a cheeseburger tonight.
It is fun seeing him grow up and change. But it's like Ezra's aggression has just shifted from like biting other kids to like now
to just general angst,
just destroying inflated balls. That's like Ezra's thing now. How hard can I kick it to hopefully get it to hit something and blow up? And just the kid's going to be able to kick a ball farther than anybody else in the state.
The problem is that if you try to put him on a field with somebody else, he'll kick it further than anyone in the state, but then he'll also punch someone harder than anyone in the state. Mm-hmm.
And he'll knock. Yeah, I mean, I don't remember if I talked about this on the podcast before, but he like took out two kids from the opposing team at Saturday
soccer. Yeah, you mentioned that, how just launched soccer balls at their head.
Yeah, but he is a good kid. I'm trying to wrap this up so people listening like, do we have to call DHS? I mean, I'm really starting to worry for this kid's safety. No, he's fine. He just kind of runs.
Worry about Aaron's safety.
Yeah, worry about my safety. So I've got one more Friday with him, and then that's it. Then we're done for the year. And the next year, it's 5-day first grade, and I could not be more happy. And neither could my wife, because my wife has him in her class. She is tired of him, too. It's like, I hate having this attitude about your own kids, but it's being honest. It's like, I'm so sick of you.
Love you.
But it's like, you're not really sick of your kid. You're just sick of the attitude.
Yes. Oh, yep.
It's like, goodness gracious.
And I,
I've got some books, Parenting with Love. Yeah, you can take them books and shove them.
Yeah.
You know,
doesn't work.
You think you got a YouTube video I should watch? Well, forget you.
I got something for you to watch.
Yeah, it's funny because I only have one kid to do in the morning. Well, and I'm doing it with things my wife sets out. So it's not too hard.
Honestly, I'd be 100% honest. The only thing that really worries me is the hair. Like, I could manage Ava. I'm not, there's no problem there, but it's the hair. I'm not good with the hair.
So I had to get the kids out the door this morning. Well, I left and they walked to school, but I had to make sure they were on track. And I was like, oh, Lydia, let me help you with your ponytail because she can't quite do it herself yet.
That's a real simple job.
I did the best I could. And she's like, oh, Dad, Macy's going to be like, oh my gosh, Lydia, who did your hair this morning? And I'm going to tell her, it's my dad. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Goodness, six going on 16.
That's literally exactly what she said.
Did you try a second time?
No. She put water in it and laid it down a little better, and it was fine.
That's one thing. It to me, as a man, it's like, oh yeah, that's just, that can't be that hard.
I said, you look really nice. And she looked at me like, yeah, okay, jackass. Hey, today's episode of the DBA Pod is brought to you by, you can gamble in the stock market, but don't gamble. That was a hell of a transition there you wrote.
Well,
I should have read this beforehand.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, start this over.
From the top.
Today's episode of the DBA Pod is brought to you by Super High Tech. You can gamble in the stock market, but don't gamble with your tech. Super High Tech in Sheldon, Orange City, and Sioux Center is open 6 days a week to help you out. On the web at super-ht.com.
And that was the close from the last time we talked about crypto. Good job, Wayne. You can learn more about the pod and just who the heck we think we are by hitting us up on social media. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at DBA Pod, at DBA Pod, and coming soon to a website, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe never, dbapod.com. And until the next time, we'll see you.